for tonight. I know I couldn't wait all day. Was ready to get back tonight, and sad to see that it's already, tonight's the last night of our scheduled meetings.
Amen.
It's not the last night of revival. Revival's going to go on for a while, and I believe that God sent it this week, and I believe some people's heeded it, and I think we're going to see a difference. And that's my prayer tonight. I ask you to continue to be with Brother Andy as he'll bring the message again tonight. And that last night was, I know we say this a lot of times, it was probably one of the best messages I've ever heard on that part of Scripture last night. But I thank Randy for minding the Lord and preaching what God laid on his heart. Good to have we've got a lot of youth with us tonight. Good to have them. And that way, maybe Brother Randy quit picking on Dallas. He's picked on him about every night, so maybe he'll get a little rest tonight. But do appreciate y'all being here. Have any prayer requests? I know we had plenty down there, people's in need and hurting and different things. But anyone up here have a special prayer request you need to make known?
Remember my little girl, she got ear infections in both ears.
And it's
been rough on the mom this afternoon. So.
I can't imagine her not smiling.
Yeah.
Remember her. That's tough times. Any others? Remember our church as we go forward. Remember our community. Remember all the churches around about us. Revival's enough for all of us. We so many times get involved with thinking, Lord, we just want it to come New Harmony so we can talk about how great we are. But I pray it comes to every church around here.
Amen.
And all the community in Cleburne County, and then goes over to Harrison County and keeps going.
Amen.
And it can do it, and I believe God's going to send it. No more prayer requests. Brother Rudy, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you.
to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the
appreciate that singing tonight. That's we get to hear that every Sunday.
Bless your heart.
Not the Grace song. I wish we could hear it every Sunday. I love that song. But boy, I appreciate them singing tonight. That ensemble does a great job. I had a guy from Clay County come up and visit me today at work, and he was talking about I'm not going to tell you what church. And he was kind of joking, but I think he was. But he was talking about how people like different style preachers. And he said, "Yeah," he said, "when we have visitors." He said, "I tell them they don't need to bring a watch. They need to bring a calendar." He said, "Our pastor can go for a while." But he was just joking. And it's good to have people come, and you can tell right off that you're going to get along. And he was a Christian guy, and you could tell it as soon as he got out of the truck. So God's good and puts people in our lives. And more excited about the singers we have tonight. The Moore family, if y'all just come on and sing what the Lord's laid on your heart.
They both can't think of anything to say and want me to talk. So thank you, Pat and church, for inviting us tonight. We like to sing. We just don't do it very often. And I'm Connie, and these are our two beautiful children, Stuart and Amy. And we're happy to be here, and we're going to probably do three songs for you. We don't know many more than that, so... We're going to start off with something a little peppy called Robin' Crown.
It sounds.
sing that on TV at the telethon. I've only played that song probably 5,000 times, and I messed up on it about that many times. Stuart was threatening to unplug my keyboard. I messed up on it. It was very embarrassing, but anyway, I redeemed myself.
This is our dad. Oh, we all look too much alike. Then. Anything different?
That's two.
Well, all of you I know remember my brother Monroe, and one of his songs that he always sang was The Lighthouse. And so after he died, we didn't know who was going to sing that song from it, because that was just always his song, and he probably did it better than anybody I know. So Jimmy has now stepped into those shoes, and he's gonna sing The Lighthouse for you. Hope you enjoy it.
Singing.
Amen.
I was thinking as Jimmy was singing, trying to figure out how many years ago that I first met Jimmy Moore. I think it was 27. Y'all didn't know I was even that old. I think it was 27 years ago we went to trade school over at Cleveland County Vocational School, and Jimmy was cutting grass on an old Snapper lawnmower. They didn't have them fancy ones yet. And we had an auto body teacher. I'm not going to call his name, but he said, "Won't y'all go throw rocks at Jimmy?" So we did. That was our hobby. When Jimmy would cut grass, we'd throw rocks at him. And I never knew I'd be here at this place. So you better be careful, young ones, who you throw rocks at. You never know. In more ways than one. But I'm glad they came tonight. I truly enjoyed those songs. Some of my favorite ones right there. Tonight, I'm ready for Brother Randy. Brother Randy, you come on and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Boy, it gave Chad a whole new meaning to "Who Am I," didn't it? Appreciate that singing. I think "Who Am I" is probably my all-time favorite song because it's just so real. Amen. Matter of fact, this morning it was playing in my truck. And I don't know if you're like me or whatever, but sometimes I just have to have a moment. Right. And that was playing this morning, and I just had to sit there and have a moment right by myself. So thank y'all for singing that. You know, it's been a fast 3 nights. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but it's went by really quick. And the Lord's been good. He's Amen. Shown a lot of things. And I sat last night and got up this morning, and I was talking to JD on the way down here, and I said, got up this morning, and as I told y'all the other night, I'm a morning reader. I'm a morning studier, because if I sat down in a chair in the afternoon, I'm done. So this morning I was sitting and reading, and I just like to get caught away. You know, the Holy Spirit gets in it, you just kind of like you end up in a trance. And I was sitting there this morning, and I was reading, and I was just praying and asking God just to be real. Next thing I know, I just kind of like you wake up, you know, you come out of whatever state the Lord has you. And I looked at my phone, and good gracious, I'm late. I'm supposed to have been at the farm. So I jumped in my truck and took off, and we got this saying at the farm. What are you doing, watching gun smoke? So I get to the farm, first thing my helper does, I say, "What are you doing, watching gun smoke this morning?" I said, "Man, don't start on me today." But you know, this week as we come, and I pray that something's been said, something's been preached, something in God's word has been brought out to you to make a difference in your life. Amen. That the Holy Spirit is using it to make a difference in your life. It may be some little something. You have to listen. Every word's important. Every word has a meaning. Every word has something for you. So you have to pay attention. I thought about tonight. I began to pray about tonight, and the Lord carried me to one of my favorite passages. And my wife gets on me all the time because I'll say, "It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture." And she'll say, "That's all of them, ain't it?" And I said, "Yeah, pretty much." But, you know, there's some that just speak to you louder than others. And I thought about something Chad said last night. And that really sparked what we're going to preach tonight. And I'm telling you, church, if you really want to see revival, like we preached this week, let's stop wasting God's time. Amen. Let's stop wasting His provision, wasting His word, wasting His gifts. Let's stop wasting those things. But then stand strong. I mean, step up, speak out, stand strong in the word of the Lord. Right. But then don't run back.
Amen.
If you've got your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of John. In the 21st chapter, you know, as we sit and think about the time when Jesus walked the earth, when Jesus came here, and He chose these men to walk with Him. He chose these great men to walk with Him. And yeah, you even got to call Judas a great man, okay? Because he did exactly what the Lord had for him to do.
Amen.
He sold out the Savior. So he did exactly, and we all have those Judas moments, I'll be honest with you. So we can't point a finger at him. But as all these men walked with Him, and we talk about revival, and we talk about how hard it is for the church not to only find revival, but to stay in revival. As these men walked with the Lord, and they walked and they saw Him hang on the cross of Calvary, they saw His blood shed, they saw Him laid in a tomb, and then all of a sudden, they're sitting in a place, and the Savior comes back into the room to where they are. Think about that for just a minute. Didn't even open the door. Bible said He just walked on through the wall, come right on in. Boy, I tell you what, I'd about had a heart attack about right then, okay?
Amen.
came right in there where they were, spoke to them, shared with them. Old Thomas didn't believe. Remember, he wasn't there with them the first time. A few days later, guess what? He came back. And old Thomas didn't even have to touch him like he said. He said, I won't believe until I reach out and touch him. Until I touch the scars, until I touch the side, I won't believe that he was here. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get in the presence of the Master, amen, and when you get in the presence of Jesus, your way of thinking is going to leave in a hurry, okay?
Amen.
Your way of thinking is going to leave in a hurry. And when he came back in the room, Thomas said, Master, Lord, what do you have me do? But you know, he left again and brings us to this 21st chapter. This is one of my favorite passages because it's so real today. You find yourself in this passage. You find the church in this passage. You find everything that you need for revival and how to stay in revival and how not to go back to a place of comfort in this passage. And I want to share this with you tonight, 21st chapter of the book of John. And it says this. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night, they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let's just stop right there. They went right back to the place they were.
Amen.
You ever noticed that? You ever thought about that? You've read this passage a thousand times. You've heard this preached before. You've heard it shared before. But I'm telling you, New Harmony Baptist Church, if you ever want to see revival in this church, you can't run back to the things that were. The things that were, the place you were, the place that you used to be.
Amen.
You know, I used to be a lot of places. I used to be a lot of things that I'm not anymore. Why? Because the blood of Jesus washed all that away and made me a new man, okay?
Amen.
I guarantee you, when it comes to being a sinner, I was good as anybody. I'm still good as anybody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace now. But when you look at this passage of Scripture, they saw Jesus, they walked with Jesus, he came back to them, but all of a sudden, when he wasn't there with them anymore, all of a sudden, Simon's a loudmouth, isn't he?
Man.
Simon Peter, you got some Simon Peters in the church, you know that? And I'm going to tell you something, sometimes a Simon Peter can lead you right into a revival, but sometimes a Simon Peter can lead you right out of revival.
Man.
That sounds a lot like us, don't it? That sounds a lot like who we are. But Simon sat there, and he said, listen, boys, I'm going fishing.
Amen.
It's done. It's over, man. Jesus came back. Now, think about this. They walked with him. They saw him die. They saw him raised again. But all of a sudden, they want to go right back to where they were instead of being excited about a resurrected Savior.
Amen.
He walked in the room with them. Man, they should have been ecstatic. They should have been turning flips. He's alive. He is here. What will he have us do next? Where's he going to send us next? What's he going to do next to show us great things? What's he going to do to allow us to be able to do great things with him? What's he going to do? What a revival place they should have been in with the Master right there.
Amen.
But instead, they said, I'm going fishing. And let me tell you something, church, and you hear me when I say this, it only takes one to lead you into revival, and it only takes one to lead you out. Because when Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing, what happened? The rest of them said, we're going with you.
Amen.
You know, you get a lot of that in the church now, don't you? Especially on Sunday. I'm going fishing. Guess what? I'm going with you.
Amen.
They ain't fishing for me neither, okay? But church, I'm telling you, they came to a place, they knew the Savior was there, but all of a sudden, they walked right back to the place. They took two steps backwards instead of going forwards. Churches are doing that today, and they're doing it, listen to this, they're doing it regularly today. They'd rather walk backwards than forwards. Can I tell you something? There is nothing backwards in God's Word.
Amen.
Nothing in God's Word says that we step backwards. Nothing says that we move backwards. Everything in God's Word is what's called progressive. It moves forward and forward and forward and forward. And as long as this Word's been in existence, guess what? It's still moving forward. And as long as this Word stays in existence, and the Bible teaches that's forever and ever and ever, it will continue to move forward. There is nothing backwards in God's Word. So why in the world do we want to take steps backwards?
Amen.
Why does the church want to continue to take steps backwards? Why in our individual life do we want to continue to take steps backwards? We do, or don't we? We come into those things with Jesus, and we come into those moments with Him, and He shows us great things in our life, and He begins to do great things in our life, and man, we're all up about Him then, ain't we?
Amen.
We're like a bunch of kids come back from youth camp. We're so excited, man, we're ready to set the world on fire.
Amen.
For about 2 weeks. Then guess what? That fire begins to leave.
Right.
And it begins to move. And the next thing you know, though, that same group that was ready to set the world on fire is the same group that's taken about 2 steps backwards. There's nothing in God's Word that says move backwards. Everything says go forward. Step forward. Move forward. Be of good courage. Be of good comfort. Why? Because I am with you everywhere you go.
Amen.
Would Joshua have ever crossed that Jordan River if he'd have stood there and said, I ain't doing it. I'm going to take steps backwards. God had a plan. God moved him forward, and guess what? He crossed that river. Church, you'll never cross that river if you take step backwards.
Amen.
Did David take step backwards? He stumbled. He stumbled many, many times. There's a difference. He stumbled many, many times, but did he ever walk backwards? No. And you're going to stumble. Guess what? You're going to stumble. Everybody stumble today?
Amen.
Look at everybody looking around. Let me tell y'all a story one time. You know, I'm a pretty big fella. I was getting off tractor. And when I got to that bottom step, I kind of slipped. The grass was wet, my foot slipped out from me, and I fell backwards. Well, guess what? My foot was still hung in the step. I wasn't hurt by no way, shape, form, or fashion. I was just hung. And I said, Lord, do you really mean I'm going to have to call somebody to come down here and help me get off from under this track? So I laid there a minute, and I said, I'll eventually get up here where I can reach it. I kept trying and trying. I said, I ain't going to be able to get up. I'm going to have to call somebody to come there and get me up. And I'm thinking, Lord, who's it going to be? I said, who is it going to be? Because there ain't but just a few people that I'm calling in this situation. Because I know several that will catch me in this situation. They might have whoop up on me a little bit before I get up. I laid there a little while with my foot hung, kept a wiggling and a wobbling. And finally got wiggled around enough, I caught the fender of the tractor and was able to pull myself just enough to get my foot loose. And I said, thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to call somebody, especially my wife. Because I know what she'd have done. She'd have laughed at me for a while, whooped on me a while, and then she might have let me up. I don't know. But see, we stumble and we get ourselves in situations sometimes, and guess what? We can't get up.
Right.
That's not backwards. That's not walking backwards in the Word of the Lord. That's life. That's life. But guess what? These men walked right back to where they were. That's what they knew. That's where they were comfortable, on the boat fishing. And it says they went right back to the place they were. They went right back to what they knew, right back to the same things. And church, let me tell you something. There, you've tried the same things.
Amen.
Have you tried the same things? Have you done the same things over and over and over? We've, you know, in every church, let me tell you something. Every church is different, but every church is the same.
Amen.
We all try the same things over and over and over. Even when they didn't work the first time, we try them over and over and over again. Even when they didn't work the second time, we try them over and over again. Instead of saying, God, give me something new. Give me a new direction. I want you to guide my steps. I want to move forward in something else. God, this ain't working. What would you have us do?
Amen.
So they went back on the boat. They went back fishing. They walked right back out. and did the same things they had always done. And it said that night, guess what? They didn't catch a thing. Nothing. They didn't catch anything. And you know, you think about that. Why are churches not full tonight? Why is New Harmony not full tonight? Can I tell you something? My church is full tonight. Stedman Baptist Church is packed. Man, these people parked up and down the sides of the road.
Amen.
Because they're having a visitation for a funeral. That's the only reason. They're packed out. But on any given Wednesday night, guess what? Our church is not packed. This church is not packed. There's not a church here that's packed. Why are our churches not full of people hungry for God and hungry for God's Word? It's because we keep trying to take God's Word, and God's Word never changes. It will always stand the same. But sometimes the way we present God's Word and the way we use God's Word has got to change a little bit, okay? That's when you know a church is in revival, when they're willing to go and be something that's a little out of normal for them, out of that comfort zone. We all love that comfort zone, don't we? That place where we feel safe.
Amen.
That place where we think nothing can harm us. That place where we feel like there's absolutely nothing that can hurt me right here, so I'm going to stay right here. I told my girls, they graduated high school in 2016, Amberlee's same year. And one of the hardest things I ever told my girls, I said, I want you to listen to me. Don't think for a moment that you're bound to Tallapoosa, Georgia.
Amen.
And they look at you funny and they say, but Daddy, I said, but honey, let me tell you something. I've seen too many people who think they're bound to the place they come from, and they think, I can't do anything different. I can't go anywhere different. I can't be something different because I'm bound to this place. I said, nothing has you bound to this place. I love you with all my heart. I'll do whatever I can to help you and whatever I can to protect you. But I'm telling you, I will never stop you.
Amen.
Church, we got to come to a place to say we're not bound into things that we've always known. We're not bound in those things that are holding us back. We're not using these things. You know what we do sometimes? We use God's Word like a boat anchor. Well, God's Word says this, and we got it right here, and we're going to take what's in that one verse right there, and we're going to throw it out beside the church. And you know, sometimes we'll take that, because the Bible teaches us not to interpretate just one verse. Use them all.
Amen.
We'll take that one verse and say, that one verse has got us right here, and we're going to throw it off the side. And you know what? Sometimes, because of our inadequacy, and because, and I'm going to use a word, and it's not a bad word, and because of our ignorance, we'll hold that church as a boat anchor, and it'll never move because we refuse to pull it back up.
Amen.
Ignorance is not a bad word, because we're all ignorant to some things, okay?
Right.
I'm ignorant to some things you know, you're ignorant to some things I know. But I'm telling you, God's Word has got to be used as a progressive forward and not an anchor to hold a church back. And if we'll get in God's Word and find God's Word, we won't be on a boat fishing tonight, all right? These men found themselves right back where they knew, right back what to do, and had not caught a thing. Had not caught a thing. And then Jesus come on the scene. Boy, I love when Jesus comes on the scene. Don't y'all? Y'all like it when Jesus comes on the scene? Y'all like it when he just shows up and you ain't even looking for him? He just blows in, as Chad says about the wind. He just blows in and just disrupts and changes everything that you had planned.
Right.
Don't you like it when that happens? Don't you get excited when that happens? Don't you like that excitement? You know what that is? A church that's in revival knows that excitement all the time, because not only are they looking for Jesus to come, they're expecting him to come, and they're waiting on him to get there.
Amen.
They're waiting on him to get there. And he ain't ever late.
That's right.
Ask old Lazarus.
Amen.
He ain't ever late. They kept casting them nets. Casting them nets. And Jesus said, hey, boys. They already knew right off the bat it was Jesus. Hey, children. Hey, children. Have you caught anything? Not a thing. Not a thing. Well, why don't you do this? Listen to this, church. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take about 12 steps to the right and throw that net off the other side of the boat and see what happens?
Amen.
You say, wait a minute. 12 steps the other way? We ain't never done it that way.
Amen.
Wait a minute. We ain't never thrown the nets off that side of the boat. That's against the way we were taught. That's against the way we was brought up. That's against the way we were taught to fish. Never throw the nets off of that side of the boat. Throw them off anyway.
Amen.
Throw them off anyway. And it says when they threw them, that there's so many fish in them they couldn't even get them. We're missing what God has for us in His Word, in His church, because we refuse to take 12 steps to the left or the right.
Right.
How many of y'all that sit on this side of church all the time have ever sat on that side? I'm being dead serious now.
Amen.
I'm being dead serious. How many times have you ever sat on that side of the church? And you say, preacher, things don't look right from that side of the church. They don't look right from over. I done tried it over there and it don't look right.
Amen.
I can't do that. I can't move 15 feet over here and sit on a pew and have to turn a different direction and look at something. I can't do that. How many of y'all back there in the back ever sat on the front? Anybody? Y'all say, what, we can't hear you, preacher? You see, it's good back here. You don't get spit on.
Amen.
You don't see what's going on at the front of the church sometimes. Just a few feet to the front, and you'd be amazed what it'd make. Jesus came, and He said, go to the other side. Take 12 steps, and go to the other side, and let me show you what is there. Let me show you what is there. Let me show you how good the fishing is over there. Church, can I tell you something? If you'd be willing to move where God sends you, He'll show you what He has.
Amen.
We miss so much from God. We miss so much from His Word. And we miss so much in His presence because we're not willing to go in the direction He wants us to go. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 teaches us a great lesson over there. Teaches us this huge, great lesson. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thine heart. Look at this. And lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways, trust Him.
Amen.
And let me tell you what He'll do. Let me tell you what He'll do. He will take you by the hand and lead you exactly where He wants you to be.
Amen. Right.
It may be on this side of the church, that back corner of the church, right over here. It may be something different than you've ever known. Something different than you've ever known. And you say, preacher, wait a minute now. I told you the other night, I ran from my call to preach for 20 years. 20 years. Even when I was in the world, and I shared this with church, and I don't mind sharing it with you, even in a drunken stupor, God would deal with me. So, you know, I got back in church, recommitted, rededicated myself to the Lord. I'm good. I'm good now. I was teaching Sunday school, ordained as a deacon. I'm good. I'm right where I want to be. I'm good. I'm fine. Still sitting on that back corner. I'm good. But can I tell you something? And in everything that I was good at, what I thought I was good at, there was absolutely no peace.
Amen.
Because I was not in the place God wanted me to be.
That's right.
Until I surrendered to that call to preach. And He said, now, Now let me use you. I was terrified. I still get scared. I still get nervous. And I love to preach. I love to preach with everything I've got. But I still get nervous. I still get stomached bugs when it's time to get up and preach. I do. It don't matter if it's at our church or another church. It don't matter. But I learned you got to trust him. Because if you're not in the place he wants you to be, you'll never have peace. And if you begin to come to the place he wants you to be, and you're getting right there at it, and he begins to work in you, what happens is too many times, just like with these boys right here, we get a little scared, and we'll run right back to where we were. Whew, I tried it over there. I tried it over there. That side of church is evil. There's something bad on that side of church. Don't know what it is. I ain't pointing no fingers. But I just wasn't comfortable there. Can I ask you a question? Do you think this Savior that we sang about so greatly this evening, this Savior that had spent time with them, this Savior that came to save this wicked world, do you think he was comfortable hanging on the cross of Calvary? Did the Bible say that, oh, he was in great comfort hanging there? Did the Bible say he was in great comfort while he had the nails in his hands? And he was in great comfort while he had the nails in his feet. And he was in great comfort when they were stabbing him in the side with a spear. He was in great comfort in that whole time. Is that what the scriptures say? Are we any better than our Savior? Why can we not get out of our comfort zone and get into a place and be used by God?
Amen.
The creation is not greater than the Creator. So when they heard the voice of Jesus and they threw the nets on the other side and they pulled up all these fish, they realized that's Jesus, that's the Lord. That's Him. And look at what He's done. One more time, look at what He's done. He says, bring your fish in, boys. Let's eat together. And when He gets them in there, He begins to feed them. He begins to fellowship with them. And he wore old Peter out.
Amen.
He wore old Peter just slam out, didn't he? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter said, yes, I do, Lord. Feed my sheep. Anybody ever in here tried to feed sheep? Ain't the easiest thing in the world. Anybody want a pony? You want it? He's yours, brother. He's delivered free. He was standing in my front yard when I left a while ago. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Yes, I do. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me. Lord, why do you keep asking me that? Father, why do you keep saying it? You know I love you. Then why did you get back in the boat?
Amen.
Then why did you go right back to what you knew? Then why did you run from what I had for you? Peter, I got a job for you. New Harmony, God's got a job for you. God's got a place for you. God's got a purpose for you. But you've got to be willing to go where He says, do what He says. Listen to this. You're not going to like this one. And stay where He says.
Amen.
I hate MRI machines. I hate them with a passion. And I'm not claustrophobic at all. But when you get me in that little tube, and I can't move, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
But you know what happens a lot of times in the church? We become just like one of those MRI machines. It becomes so closed in. It becomes so tight that the people can't move and they can't get what God wants. They get so pulled in, they're afraid to step outside the walls. They're afraid to step outside the doors, and they're afraid to step outside their comfort zone. They think they can't.
Amen.
Church, you can. If you'll trust in the Lord, you can. If you'll go where he says go, he'll lead you. The Bible says in Matthew 28 chapter, that great commission, he said, I go with you wherever you go. He said, you go to the ends of the earth, guess what? I'll go with you. Can I tell you something? You go to south end of Cleburne County, he'll go with you. You go to the north end of Cleburne County, he'll go with you. You step outside of Cleburne County, he'll go with you. Because can I tell you a little secret? He'll be there before you get there. And he's already prepared the way for you. He's already made the provision for you. All you got to do is show up.
Amen.
But there's a problem in the church. We stop showing up.
Right.
And we wonder why we can't find revival. Let's get back in the boat. When old Peter bailed out of the boat over in the storm, you know, don't you know when by the time he hit that water, Lord, what did I do? Why in the world did I jump out of this boat? Have I lost my mind? The Lord reached down, picked him up, shook his head. You know how many times does the Lord reach down, pick you up, and you shake his head?
Amen.
He does me regular. I don't know about y'all. He reached down, he said, I can't believe he got in this situation again. Shake his head. Are you willing to go where the Lord says go? Are you willing to do what he says do? Are you willing to stay? Or do you want to just do the same old things? Over, over, and over. See, that's your call. That's up to you. The Lord calls, you say yes or no. Maybe. I don't know, Lord. Sunday night we looked at the Lord's Prayer for just a minute together. I love to read the Lord's Prayer. My favorite line, but the hardest line in that prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you want to see the Lord's will done? Are you praying for the Lord's will in your life? What's the Lord's will for New Harmony? I don't know. What's the Lord's will for your pastor? I don't know. But are you willing to follow him? Or do you want to stay in the boat? Keep throwing off the wrong side.
Amen.
Keep throwing off the wrong side. Nobody knows that but you and the Lord. I'm comfortable here. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable right here in this seat. I'm comfortable doing what I do. I'm not comfortable doing anything else. I'll never forget first time that I stood up in the pulpit to preach. I spent a whole week, as all I was given was a week, to get ready. I preached to my little old dog. I think that little rascal got saved three times that week. I ain't sure. I preached to that rascal and preached to that rascal. And I mean, he's the only one that listened to me. He's the only one there with me. And I just preached to him. And I was so ready till I stood up in that pulpit. And I realized, Holy Spirit, if you don't come help me right now, it's fixing to be a mess.
That's right.
But you know what he did? He showed up.
Amen.
And he helped me. When we get ready to leave here in just a few minutes, I told you Monday night, I want you to walk out that door and say, the Holy Spirit's doing something here.
Amen.
And I believe he is. I believe he's doing it. I believe he's working in some lives.
Right.
I believe he wants to change some folks. I believe he wants to change some things. But somebody's going to have to get that Isaiah syndrome. You're going to have to get it. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I ain't going to ask no questions. I ain't going to ask where. I ain't going to ask what. I ain't even going to ask how long. Send me. And you're going to step out of that boat and you're going to go. As you come with an invitation song tonight, and as your pastor makes his way down here to the front, I want you to ask yourself, am I hung in a place? Am I stuck in a place? And am I afraid to get out of the boat? Is anything going to happen out of this series of revival meetings? Is anything going to take place? Holy Spirit, come and sit down with me right now. Show me where you want me to be. Come to the place of God. Come ask God to be real in your heart. Come ask God to be real in your life. And you know what He'll do? He'll show up. He'll show up because He's already there. So as you stand with us tonight, as your pastor stands here at the front, are you comfortable in that pew tonight? Are you comfortable in where you are tonight? Or do you want to see something happen? Or do you want to see something happen? Can I ask you something, New Harmony? Are you willing tonight? Are you willing in the house of God tonight to throw your net on the other side? If you're willing, let the Lord do a work tonight. Come to where He is. Ask Him to work in your life. Ask Him to be real as they sing tonight.